ascending into heaven, being taken up into heaven. And there they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. This psalm is talking about Jesus when it's talking about God ascending amid shouts of joy. Is Jesus ascending into heaven shortly after having been raised from the dead, defeating death, paying the debt of our sins so that we can live for God forever? 1,000 years later, the full meaning of this psalm was revealed in Jesus. So this psalm isn't just talking about the majesty of God, his power. It is also reminding us of the love of God shown in Jesus. And it is both his power and his love in this psalm that should be encouraging us to praise to God, King over all the earth. Do you remember? God, King over all the earth. That's right. Right, so a quick quiz, and we're going to do this very easily. So if you think you know the answer, I'm going to give you A and B. I'm going to tell you the question. I'm going to give you the options A or B. And then I just want you to clap at the answer you think is correct. It's an easy quiz. I won't lie to you. So the first one is, okay, well, there's three of them. What is harder? Raising the state of English cricket by scoring 100 runs in the 10th wicket partnership to win a test, or raising Lazarus from the dead? So A or B? Which one do you think it is? Is it A or B? Of course, as impressive as that performer feat was. Okay, question number two. A, which is harder? A, defeating sin once and for all, or B, defeating the Green Goblin? Is it A or B? That's right. Defeating sin once and for all. Number three, the question is, what is harder, saving Arendelle or saving you and me and anyone else who puts their trust in Jesus?
Saving people.
Is it A or B? Amazing. That was a very easy quiz, but hopefully helps us to remind us we have so much reason to praise our God, so much more than anything or anyone we might praise here on earth. Let that motivate me, let that motivate us when we think about coming to God. So, we're going to think about that God deserves our praise more than anything else because of his power and his love, but he is also different to anything here on earth in always deserving our praise. So, Spider-Man might be flying from the building, shooting at the bad guys, and people might see that and applaud and shout with joy. But we're not going to be doing that when he's sitting on the toilet, are we? Spider-Man is just an ordinary person, even though he might do extraordinary things. Your favourite sports person, we shout with joy when they score a goal, or they score the try, or they hit some runs, and it wins them the match, wins you the match. But we don't praise them when they're doing the bad things off the pitch, off the field, do we? We don't praise them when they're doing unkind things. And what about if you were on the other side of the team? You wouldn't be praising the England cricketer who's scoring the runs against you. If you're Australian recently, you wouldn't be supporting the England side, that's for sure. So actually, we think some of the people we praise, it's also a bit about perspective. Our heroes on earth do one thing, or lots of things which are great, which are maybe really, really cool, but then they finish and go back to being normal, go back to being sinful. Or actually, you might not have thought they were all that good to begin with. God isn't like this. His awesome power, his seat on the holy throne as king over all the earth, and the love he has shown in Jesus, these are constant. And constant for whoever you are. The reason to praise our God is not based on short-lived events. They are always there. And unlike even the best superheroes, or the best sportsman, or the best singer, or the best scientist, God is never ordinary, never less than perfect. There is always a reason to praise God, and that's true for everyone. Now, not now, but a bit later, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And at the last verse, I think, puts this idea really, really well. It says, when we've been here, when we've been there in heaven 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. There is always going to be a reason to praise God, whoever we are. So, we should praise God, King over all the earth. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to invite the musicians up to sing some more songs. And what we've seen before already is that this psalm is, when it talks about praise, it's talking about energy and noise and joy. So let that be a good example, good excuse for those of us who are young at heart and feeling a bit restless to make lots of noise and have lots of joy with this song. So right, so just as we come back to our seats, we've been thinking about, let's see the signs, we've been thinking about praising God, King over all the earth. And just then we were thinking about why we might be praising God. We're thinking about his love for us and the power that he has up in heaven. Now we're going to think about how we should be praising God, King over all the earth. Now when I read this psalm, there were lots of really good words that came out at me. And when we read them, we did some action. So now when I say these words, I want to see some of these things. So there was singing. La. There was shouting. Rah. There was clapping. There were trumpets. So when we think about how we should be praising God, King over all the earth, the simple answer is with noise, with joy, with energy. And let's be honest, most of the time we can be quite rubbish at this. Most of us are, and I include myself. I get very self-conscious when praising God and thinking about making lots of noise and using lots of energy. But some of the younger children are maybe a bit better in this. And actually, children, isn't this amazing? Here you have the Bible telling us to make lots and lots of noise when it comes to celebrating God. That is brilliant news for all but the parents. So, great news, but this actually might be quite challenging for us. In the UK, our culture and our experiences, our upbringing, might not really encourage us to do this. I'm not saying that quiet praise isn't genuine, it absolutely is, but such is the power of God's love, such is God's power and God's love, such is the reason for us to be praising God, that there will be times when our praise should be overflowing. It should be joyful, it should be full of energy, full of noise. Let that be a really big challenge for us going forward. Now, if this kind of praise is true of God, it is also probably, well, we probably recognise that kind of praise perhaps more in a football stadium or at a concert. We might in fact be recognising that more outside of church than inside of it. And that should be a real challenge for us. We should be really encouraged by that, to praise with more energy and more joy. But praising God is, there's more to it than just noise and energy. And there are a few things that we'll finish with, we'll talk about that the psalm looks at, that is a bit more than just making noise and energy, using energy and joy. And the first point is, praise is a doing word. It's a verb. It is stopping whatever else we might be doing and dedicating time and energy to pointing to him. Pointing to him with energy and with joys and noise. But the psalmist goes to great length to show how praise is an action, how our praise should be one of real dedication. In verse 6, can someone shout out how many times does the writer say, sing praise? 4 times, that's right, thank you. 4 times! The writer is stating 4 times to sing praises to God. And in case we've missed it then, in verse 7, he says it again. You don't write sing praises to God 5 times in 4 lines if you don't really mean it. The reader is asking us to really go for praise. He is encouraging us to really dedicate time in praise. He's describing sounding trumpets, clapping hands, shouting shouts of joy. The overall picture isn't one of someone feebly standing at the back of church, murmuring a song whilst checking his phone or her phone. Is this, when we read the psalm, is it like this? It's not like that at all. It's talking about real passion, real energy, real joy shining through in our praise. It is showing that we really believe that God is that powerful and loving God that we know him to be. So when we praise, however we do it, we should be really going for it. Secondly, in choosing to praise God, King over all the earth, in choosing to sing praises to our King, sing praises, we are saying, we are demonstrating with actions that God is important. When you praise like this, you are demonstrating that God is more important than whatever else you might have been doing that day. More important than working late when it's a prayer meeting. More important than that lion on a Sunday morning when church is on to catch up on sleep after a long week. We are saying that God is so important to us, he is worthy of our time. And in doing this, the times when you just stop your works, stop your actions, you're stopping all the things you do here on earth to keep living, working, eating, playing, resting. You are putting those things down. And for what? To devote your precious energy, your precious time, to nothing more than singing God's praise. To an outsider, that sounds insane. It sounds like a complete waste of time. You're going to stop doing that really cool thing or that really important thing, that work, that rest, that thing you really enjoy, to sing to God? It's countercultural. But in doing this, we're not just demonstrating that we really believe that God is our king, is the king of kings, and so worthy of sacrificing our energy and time. We are also demonstrating that we really, truly trust in him. That we trust in his care and his love so much that we can stop anything else we could be doing and praise him. We are practicing in our reliance on our God through the act of praise and demonstrating that, yes, I actually do believe he is our king. He is my king. In praise, we are putting the words of this psalm into action. And the final point. I mentioned at the beginning about how praise might lead us to wanting to be more like the thing we are praising. When you see Spider-Man on TV or you see your favourite sports person, you want to go out and play football. You want to go pretend to be Spider-Man. We want to pretend to be like our heroes. And partly, that's true for the praise of our God, King over all the earth, too. When we look at God and we see what he's done for us, that should encourage us to be more like him, to be more holy. It can motivate us, and that's a good thing. But I don't think that's the full story. Not for the praise of God, King over all the earth. The praise described in this psalm is not about wanting to be like God. It is acknowledging, rejoicing, that actually, you can't. He is king over all the earth. You can't have more than one. You can't have two of them. See the way the psalm speaks of God. He is most high on his holy throne, the king of the earth. In the kings of the earth in all their majesty and all their nobility belong to God. That's towards the end of the psalm. He is most high on his holy throne. He is greatly exalted. The psalmist repeats and repeats this message of God's power to emphasize it, to underline its truth. Our God is powerful. Our God is great. Our God is the one true God who all other kings assemble under. No one, no way can we be like that. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, trying to be like God is exactly the thing that underpins our own sin. By trying to be like God, by thinking that we can be God, we put ourselves first, we make ourselves kings of the world, and that drives our selfishness. It drives our jealousy. It drives our anger. Instead, our praise should be recognizing how majestic, how powerful, how awesome God is, and accept and revel in that fact. We can never be like that. Only God is king over all the earth, and we can rejoice further in knowing we don't need to be. He's got it. We can rely on him, the one and only God. Now, for many of us here as Christians, this will sound right. I've just sort of expounded the obvious. A one true God, king over all the earth. Makes sense. If it doesn't, and you're exploring the Christian faith, you are so welcome. And we would love to talk this through with you more. But actually, this psalm was written with those who didn't know God in mind. It wasn't written just for the Israelites, God's people at that time. No, it was written very much with the Gentiles, so the non-Israelites, so the people who weren't under God's power all when this book was written a few thousand years ago. In fact, it would have been written for them. A lot of those people would have been enemies of God. The reason I say that is because the psalm begins with all you nations. It's bringing in, it's the reader isn't just God's people, it isn't just the Israelites. It's talking to all you nations. And describes in verse 9, the nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. And the people of the God of Abraham would have been the Israelites. He's bringing the people all together, wherever you are from, whatever your background. This psalm is for you. This psalm is talking to those outside of the Israelites. Now, these people might have been threatened by Israelites' God. They might have, in fact, been part of nations which are described in this psalm as being subdued. And it is to them, this psalm says, praise this God. Praise him because he is the one true God. He is the king over all the earth, reigning over the nations. You don't need anything else. You don't need anyone else. And if it was true for the Gentiles then, a few thousand years ago, it is absolutely true for us. We don't need anything else. Let me finish with this. The world could always do with another Ben Stokes. It could always do with another superhero putting the bad guys away. It could always do with another Einstein, another amazing singer or artist. The world will never need another God. We'll never need another God or another God's son. Let's read verse 5 again. You can do that because I've lost that page, sorry. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. Jesus ascended to shouts of joy. Through Jesus Christ, our sins are nailed on that cross and we have eternal life. Whoever puts their trust in him has that eternal life. It is done. He has ascended amid shouts of joy, it is done. So, we'll finish. What's the sign, everybody? Praise God, King over all the earth. And let's do it with energy, with noise, and with joy. And we'll do that now with another song.